Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron, and in the studio I got Robs. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
So we're here to have our Nature Connection chat, and normally Robs gives me some idea of what we're going to be talking about, but today he wouldn't.
We're usually pretty good at free-flowing it,
yeah,
because obviously it is Nature Connection after all.
Yeah.
And but yeah, I wanted to ask you a question this morning. I wanted to turn the tables.
Oh, yeah?
So, the last few months we've talked, referenced a website which doesn't really exist.
Your website,
you know,
yeah.
It's been almost a joke that I haven't got around to building it yet. But I've been giving it another go recently.
Yeah.
So, you know, writing some stuff down and some info and figuring out how I want to portray what we do. And trying to describe Nature Connection, the traditional way of answering the question is to question the person who asked you it.
Oh, I see. That's, you know, what you normally do.
Because, you know, the root word of question is quest, and a question's not meant to just have an answer. It's meant to be a bit of a journey to discover, and it's a journey which is, you know, your teacher. And so I want to ask you where you feel, and it's different for every person I'll ask, but where do you feel the boundaries of nature stop? You know,
is it, oh, the boundaries?
Yeah.
Ooh.
You know, is the microphone you're talking into, is that nature? Where, what do you feel with that?
Well, if an animal made something, we would say it was natural. And we're animals, so therefore everything's natural.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure I believe that.
What do you believe?
Most of the stuff we make is unnatural. Like, I'm sitting here in a room full of unnatural stuff, and I can look out the window, I can see some natural things. I think that's my reflex, is to say that the grass and the trees are natural.
Mm-hmm.
Not much in this room is natural except us. Maybe the metal is. When you start trying to draw a line, you say, well, metal's pretty basic stuff. Is that natural or not?
It gets pretty philosophical.
Yeah, and it also gets really picky too. And do you get better answers than that?
No, every answer is a good answer. There's no right or wrong answer. But as I say, it's not the answer, it's the process of trying to think about it, which I kind of value.
I would say it's let's look at it a different way. And based on our discussions and what you're about, is that the nature is the stuff that's good for our soul. Maybe we should say that. Anything that's good for our soul is natural.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which draws the line in a very different place.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Maybe it's a better place.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you ask 100 people, you get 100 different answers, and I don't think anyone's right or anyone's wrong.
Mm.
And you might ask the same 100 people in a year's time, and you might get a slightly different answer from them. I think it's one of those themes which is kind of hard to define. But yes, I mean, if you asked me probably 5 years ago, I might have restricted it to the more classical nature of, plants and climate and weather and geology and, you know, living things and wilderness.
Yeah.
But I think with my journey, my experience over time, it's really sort of incorporated everything, because, you know, our mere interaction with things is nature, you know. And
so that relates to what I said at the start, what I said I wasn't sure I believed in.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a believer.
That we're all animals, and anything, any other animal made is natural, so what we make, therefore, is natural.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the process.
But is that helpful for what you do, to just say, to end up saying everything is natural? Because that's not what you do when you do your classes with your kids. You don't put them anywhere.
No, I don't.
You put them in a very specific place.
I don't tell people what the answers need to be. So definitely it's helpful, like the discussion's helpful. But I'm not going to draw the lines for anyone and say, no, this is nature, this is your answer. You're all wrong.
No. Were you ever like that? Were you like that when you were younger? I was more like that when I was younger.
Yeah, probably. I think I avoided a lot of those questions when I was younger.
Mm.
And just, you know, concentrated on things, happy things.
That's very wise.
Didn't delve too deep with things, I guess. But yeah, from a connection point of view, This has sort of come up because in a couple of months, myself and Nick Caulfield are off to a conference, I guess you might call it, up in Auckland, called the Natural Phenomena Conference, where a lot of teachers and early childhood educators and anyone probably within the sort of education in sector with an interest in nature as a classroom or as a curriculum comes and hangs out, and you know, heaps of workshops and talks and activities and stuff and connection for people. So we're heading up there, quite a big we're going to be
audience or talk.
No, we're talking.
You're talking
while playing. Yeah, I'm imagining there's going to be a lot of talking, but I think let's not talk and think about things. Let's just have some experiences.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that'll be interesting. It'll almost be worth going just to see.
Yeah.
Watch the although most of the audience I expect would cope fine.
Yeah. Just definitely. The nature of the event. To see how people respond to it. My plan, and sometimes this is how I start a workshop, especially a serious one, is while Nick gets or one of us gets the attention, one of us will sneak behind and clip a peg onto the back of someone's top and no one will see it, and then we'll join, and then the first thing is to figure out, you know, it just sort of breaks that serious atmosphere. It's like, all right, one of you guys has got a peg on the back of your neck, all right? Throughout this workshop, you got to try and clip it onto someone else without them knowing, and that's just an ongoing thing which happens throughout the day, because yeah, it's a different mindset.
You could probably see it in the audience, can you, while you're doing it? Like, because one, I can imagine someone sitting there trying to clip it onto the person in front of them, and the people next to them know what's going on, and then so there's probably a little bit of energy in that part of the room.
Yeah. But when you're doing it, you know, it's not a mental process, really. Nature connection. It's an experiential.
It's not an intellectual process.
Intellectual process. Yeah. It's, you know, it's an experiential thing, and getting in that space where you're lighthearted and relaxed that's when the magic happens. But that sort of more modern, you know, taking in a lot of information, it's quite an intense, you know, almost anxious sort of state that you sort of get yourself in. That's, I wouldn't say particularly conducive with, you know, how you can really tap in and benefit from these practices.
So have you done this before with the pig?
Yeah, we do it a lot. Okay. Yeah, I do it sort of quite commonly at good attire.
Because I started to worry that you might not be very good at it yet, and you might just blow your cover or something like
that. Oh, no.
Something would go wrong.
Oh, that's the thing. Like, I heard a really cool quote this week from Guy Tamrak's song, who I really enjoy listening to, and it was along the lines of you know, making your mistakes and being proved wrong is just a step in the path towards truly understanding something.
Yeah, so, that's actually really important, because in our culture and for as a child, when we're being tested all the time at school. That constant testing tells us that you failed to learn the thing and it's too late. I feel, you know, that's certainly, yeah, that's, you had to get, you were supposed to get it right beforehand.
Yeah.
And it's too late now.
Yeah.
Even though there's probably another year that you come and you learn it, but the feeling is you failed, you're too late.
Yeah.
And that's not, and it took me a long time to grow out of that. Now I'll do things like, if I'm like building something around the house, I'll just start. And when I make a mistake, I go, okay, now I know what I need to do. But that took years to get to that point. And I don't do it on the air. Well, I may do my mistakes, but the serious stuff I desperately want to get right.
Yeah, I think my life's been a long series of many mistakes. Not in a terrible
that
way.
Could be your, that could be your autobiography, yeah. Series of terrible mistakes.
I've just done stuff, you know. I've just sort of had the idea and I'm just going to do it, and I've been a bit fearless with that. So, you know, there's been gigs and workshops where it's just been, you know, people not turning up, or just, you know, lots of things in my life haven't quite gone to plan, but I've always been very accepting of that. And I think that's...
So you haven't been bothered when you run a workshop and no one turned up?
No, well, it's been a journey. Like, initially, yeah, like, I remember the first fire workshop I did, and actually had a lot of people turn up, but I had such an expectation on myself that, you know, I wanted to provide people with this amazing, perfect workshop, and the first thing I needed to do was, you know, is to get the fire going, and, you know, start with the fire and sit around, so sort of demonstrating a hand drill technique to people.
Yeah.
And with firework, it's what the fire wants you to do. You know, it's almost out of your control, even though you can be really experienced. You know, I've lit, yeah, you know, hundreds and hundreds of friction fires, but even now, fire might decide today it doesn't want me because it wants me to learn something else.
You know, did it light that day?
Eventually, it did, but not how I romanticized it there, like a pro, you know, just there, yeah, and poof, burst into flames, and oh, it looks amazing, and everyone goes woo. That didn't happen, and I remember, like, so it doesn't matter, but I remember at the time, like, it really bothered me, you know, and I was getting really stressed out and just hot and bothered and, like, you know, really uncomfortable.
So the fire wanted you to learn a lesson.
Yeah,
a different lesson.
And I learned that, and I've done, yeah, you know, lots of fire workshops since then, when, you know, trying to get it going, and, you know, something happened because things happen, and it just doesn't bother me, you know. It's just part of the story, part of the teaching, almost, you know. Like, yep, well, this is fire, guys. You know, it's not a black and white thing. It's an interaction, and the fire is always trying to teach you things, and
yeah,
it's about listening to that, and that's probably more valuable than just seeing me light a fire. In some ways.
Are you going to light a fire at this conference?
I don't know if I'm allowed.
Well, that would be but that's the place you want to do it. No, well, that would be memorable, I think. Just thinking of showmanship there. Back to the original question about what's the boundary of nature. Like, there's a whole... I know you don't delve too much into the academic world on purpose, but there's a whole field of eco-psychology. Maybe Nick... I think Nick's more into that than you are, but they must... They must try to define a boundary somewhat.
Oh, there's always people trying to define things.
But when in the academic world, they want you to pin everything down and say eco-psychology, like what, which the basis is the natural world's good for our kids to be raised in. That's me saying that. It's not an expert opinion. But as soon as you say that, you've got to define the natural world.
Well, they like to. I find, you know, definitely in some subjects, you know, there is definition and there is boundaries which are a lot clearer. But something like nature, you know, anyone who's spent time in nature, even, you know, the world's most skilled trackers will all tell you that it isn't. There's nothing. There's no book. There's nothing black and white.
Mm.
You know, when you think there's a rule and a pattern, nature will quickly show you that you've got more to learn. And I think, you know, for me, that's why nature's such an amazing teacher, because you never reach the end of it. You know, you can spend your entire life and you're never going to run out. It always keeps you curious. It's always challenging you and showing you new things. And not many fields can do that, because a lot of fields of study, I guess, tend to be a bit more finite. You know, especially with the information that's out there.
It's experiential, what you're doing.
Yeah, and it's a different mindset, and I guess it's, you know, part of it is stepping out of that more modern way of thinking and the modern way of learning, and yeah, being more vulnerable, I guess, and it's, in some ways it's a spiritual path, you know. You need to sort of let go of that ego and that desire to feel like you need to know things and feel you need to be good at things. You have to be really humble when you're working with nature.
So what's the point of doing all that? Big question.
Well,
what's the point of all this?
In terms, so this is again, you know, the thoughts I've been thinking about what we might want to express to people at this conference. I think we know, and you know, there is studies that nature's healthy. You know, we spend time in nature; it's great for development for the young people. It's great for mental health and physical health for everyone. And there's lots of research into this, you know, to the extent that, that mainstream GPs are just prescribing people some bush time.
Is that happening in this country?
Not that I'm aware of.
But other countries, like, I know that like in Britain, sometimes if people have got depression, they they prescribe physical activity.
Mm.
Just one little thing I happen to not remember. Yep. So yeah.
But I feel a way that I've sort of understood it recently is, I think nature, well, everything has a vibration because everything's made out of vibrations, and nature's definitely got a strong vibration. And if you spend time in nature, you know, it's strong, it's calm, it's honest. You know, it's non-judgmental. It's and you start to tune in anywhere you go. You start to tune into that vibration. You know, if you spend time in a sort of a church or a temple where, you know, people have prayed and for many years, you know, performed peaceful acts and spiritual acts, you get that nice feeling. You know, or a pub in England, you know, where people have gone for centuries and centuries to hang out and get together and have a good time. You know, you feel that sort of warmth atmosphere in the pub, but in, you know, nature, you feel that, and you spend time in nature and you start tuning into that vibration. But what me and Nick are offering is different practices which speed up that tuning in.
Okay.
You know, so that way you can reap that benefit, you can go deeper with it. You can get those benefits quicker, and you can take you know, deeper on a journey. So you can really make the most of that nature time.
So you guys will be talking about what you do with nature, like you'll be saying, "Here's literally some of the things we do."
That's what they want us to do, but probably not. We're probably just going to try to play lots of games with lots of adults, and at the end there might be a bit of an explanation. Because, you know, we can talk all day to try and explain these things, and then people will talk, and we do that a lot. We talk and we talk and we talk, but actually just
like we're doing
living
now.
It, you know, just actually being there. And games are great because if you play a game, it's, you know, it can really get you in that really focused headspace, and it's fun and it's light, and it really gets you into that sort of vibration, I guess you could say. So, you're alive, so, your senses are all switched on, you know, you're interacting, you're connecting with people, you're connecting with your environment, whether you're hiding and you're finding things. Or it's just, I feel that's a lot more benefit to people than words, than us trying to explain things.
So, I guess you'll be trying to give them the experience that you give with all the stuff that you do.
Yeah.
And that, yeah. Take them through that experience in whatever way you can, in that format, that setting. Sure.
And just sharing that. I mean, and I guess these people are people that are coming to a conference wanting to learn and be inspired, and, you know, who are maybe hoping to go back to their school or their, you know, wherever they are, they live, their community, and, you know, support and mentor people in their community to hold the nature space, which, you know, a lot of people are wanting to do, a lot of schools are wanting to do, but other than just being in nature and going for a walk, not necessarily knowing how to hold that space and what to do in that space and what the options are and the possibilities are. And if you're doing that every week, you know, how do you keep that interesting for the kids?
Yeah, and going for a walk, that becomes, the intention becomes to achieve the distance or something like that. Like we accidentally end up doing that most of the time.
Yeah.
Like we've got half an hour, we've got this distance. If we plan it right, we can achieve this.
Yeah.
And that's missing the point.
Yeah, totally. I tried to go on a walk a couple of years ago. I wanted to walk around Tarawera. For a few days, and, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful place, beautiful lake. I was excited, because I did have a distance and I did have a time frame. I gave up after the first day. I didn't give up the trip, but I gave up the intention to actually get all the way around the lake, because I was walking through amazingly beautiful places, but because I'm on a time frame and I got this destination, I wasn't able to follow my heart and just sit and enjoy these places and you know, see what was there to be seen.
Have you ever done rock climbing?
Not really, that's, bits and pieces.
I used to do that when I was younger. I wasn't very good at it, but again, that's not the point of this discussion. It is a thing like you achieve, like you climb that rock there up to that point, but the activity of it forces you into a different state where you are interacting with the natural world. You have to really pay attention to your physical world, and your whole world narrows right down to what's just in front of you. And I did that after I'd finished university, and I didn't have a very good time at university, but it kind of took me away from, you know, and enabled me to drop and forget all that hassle that I'd had in the previous 5 years.
Yeah. Was that Christchurch you were?
No, I was at Auckland University, if we want to point the finger at anybody.
Yeah. But I guess as well, an important point of this is, you know, no one's the master and there is no book. And in a way, there's no right and wrong. It's the journey which people take. Mm. And, you know, myself and Nick, we've got a lot of experience and we put a lot of time in doing this. But that's not to say that anyone else hasn't got so much, you know, to teach us as well. And it's nature, so it's a very individual thing. The space I hold and the space Nick holds quite different, because it's me and it's Nick and it's our connections and it's our relationships.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not necessarily that people need to be shown how to do it, but maybe just empowered that, you know, we are nature. And being in this space and being open to possibilities, if you're trying to follow a format, maybe that's going against nature, you know? Maybe that's not offering you the opportunity to express and to offer what feels right for you and to create this natural flow in the space. So it's a tricky one to fit in a modern context, in a way.
So all your talk about this conference you're going to is about how you're not going to just talk, but every month you come in here and you just talk with me.
Yeah.
But how are you trying to subvert this format? Because I know that you are a little bit, but or are you not?
So how coming in and doing this radio? How's that sort of fitting into all?
Yeah.
Are
you trying to subvert it? Are you accepting of it? Is it because you only do it a little bit?
I very much enjoy coming in and, you know, talking to you and talking to anyone in the community listening out there and explaining, you know, what I do and what my passions are. And I love, you know, for me, it's something I'd like to develop, because obviously there is times and I'm passionate about this, and I would like this space which I hold to be available to a lot of kids around New Zealand. You know, it's the dream, it's mine and Nick's dream, that people in school have this space, you know, safe, non-judgmental, free, open space where they can truly just be themselves and be celebrated who they are. I think that's really important.
Yeah.
And make those connections with people and make connections with themselves and the world around them. And I think to reach that goal in this modern world, it might involve me chatting to people every now and then.
You might have to produce data in reference to academic research and all that
sort
of thing.
Someone else can do that.
Yeah, but I imagine you'll need it to, and when you start interacting with government systems.
Yeah.
You tend to need that.
Well, hopefully on the way, someone will be like, oh, I like what you guys do. I want to help you.
Yeah,
and someone might have some, you know, some skills around that they can share.
I'm sure that will happen.
Yeah,
because they'll be like, oh, at last, thank God, I can put my skills to use in a different way. Mm. You know, to do something different.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're thinking of putting on the website. It's basically what I'm saying on the website. It's a tough one because, you know, people do like things to be pigeonholed, and I'd like to see in the website, you know, the five step path to nature connection, you know, ABCD and pigeonholes and boxes to tick. And, you know, but some people will appreciate that not being the case and like, oh yeah, these guys aren't doing that. You know, this is a bit different. So it's kind of hard. It's a bit of a tightrope to walk.
I guess if you stay up front, this is not about ticking boxes. There's no easy steps.
Yeah.
As specifically as different to that. And that's why it works.
Yeah. We're going to put some stuff on the website. And I think first thing is like, not in these words, but our website is a little bit rubbish because you know, this is our life and we want to spend time, and it doesn't actually feel good in our hearts to be, you know, putting so much energy into trying to market something. You know, that's not what we believe in. You know, this is our dream and this is our passion and our goal. But this website is as it is, and it's flowing, and it represents who we are, and this is why. And some people might hate that and switch off and forget about us, but some people might resonate with that, and it might make sense.
Well, you don't need the whole world beating a path to your door.
No. At the end of the day, you know, I mean, we're in a world where marketing is quite a big thing, but the good old-fashioned way of just leading by example and being who we are and being the best versions of who we are. And, you know, in Raglan, you know, we're supporting a lot of families already, and, you know, they tell friends and people tell friends, and we've got, you know, the Native Ways Weekend, and we just keep doing what we do. We keep getting better at doing what we do and connecting more deeply and helping people to do that.
The marketing is slower but more effective.
Yeah.
And like, it's more permanent.
But like you say, you know, it's a dream, but we don't need that destination. I don't need to get around Tarawera in 5 days. I want to just take the time it needs to take and enjoy the journey along the way, and then just really be intuitive and guided by my heart instead of, you know, a need to be seen as successful.
You've got to, like, earn a bit of money to live, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a hard part of it, for sure. That's a bit of a... yeah, a compromise I've sort of had to make to sort of really be true to what I do, has meant sort of living, you know, financial hardships in some ways. But I think the beauty and the richness of life outweigh that. And as I say, if I keep trusting and following my path and doing what I do, you know, hopefully eventually people will see the value and the uniqueness in that. And
well, they seem to be, because you're running classes, you've got kids after school things or during school things all going on.
Oh, I'm busy.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Hey, folks, I've been talking to Rob from Nature Connection. Or do we still say Kura Taiao? Or is that...
Yep.
That is,
yeah, yeah. So Kura Taiao is the local school that I run, Nature School, and Nature Connection Aotearoa is the more expanded sort of dream of sharing that and training people up.
Is there anyone doing what you're doing somewhere else in the country?
There's a lot of nature schools, or forest schools, sort of one-day schools around most... I think most big towns have them, most big communities have them now. But I wouldn't say necessarily it's exactly in line with what we're doing. You know, it's a space held in a natural environment. But it's, you know, it's not necessarily in the lines with sort of the deeper nature connection work.
It's a bit more about acquiring skills.
Not necessarily. It can be quite free. But I think it is still within that sort of more modern context often.
Yeah.
You know, getting people together, sometimes it's more of a business. You know, it can be quite $100 a day seems to be a common price. So it's not necessarily an all-inclusive space held by people. But it's awesome people are doing it, and hopefully they're, you know, trying to you know, deepen and improve their skill set and how they hold that space and what they can offer.
Yeah.
And hopefully myself and Nick can help people along the way with that.
Yeah. So when's this conference going to?
Sometime in November. It was meant to be last year, but it got cancelled because of the usual reasons.
We know why. Yeah. All right, Rob, thanks for coming in this morning.
Cheers, Aaron.
Hey, folks, that's the end of the show for the day. Hope you enjoyed it, and I'll be back again tomorrow morning.